fucking send it in.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 3 of the Puck It, Send It In podcast. I am Jake Gibson alongside my friend and co-host Alex Krutchik. And Alex, for the first time in the history of this show, we get to do an episode coming off a Panthers win. And it was a very impressive win. On top of that, a 6-0 blowout over the Ottawa Senators.
I know. It's thank God that we can come in here and start off with something positive. That game was fun because they scored twice in the first 97 seconds. So you got it right out of the way as soon as possible. The only question was, will they hold the lead? And not only did they hold the lead, but they extended it more and more and more as the game went on. 6-0. Nick Cousins got on the score sheet. Dmitry Kulikov was there somewhere helping out. It was just a tremendous game all around in all three aspects of the game. Well, all four aspects of the game, really. Special teams, offense, defense, goaltending. It was such a good get-right game. Ottawa is not the greatest team in the world.
No.
But there are worse teams that the Panthers have performed against over the last 3 weeks. So to see them do that against anybody was very refreshing.
So back on November 27th, they had beaten Ottawa again on the road by a score of 5-0. The next time they met, it was on the February 20th. Florida barely got by. They won 3-2 in overtime. And of course now they won 6-0. That means in three games of work, they've put up 14 goals against this poor Ottawa team. Now, again, granted, the win is very nice for Florida. They get back on track, but we can't really ignore the fact that this is coming off of two straight losses to Canadian teams. This was the third game of a Canadian road trip, if you will, that's finishing up not in Canada, but in Boston tomorrow, which we'll talk a bit about later. However, again, against some playoff caliber opponents such as Toronto, Florida did not exactly play their best hockey. And of course, the game prior to Montreal, Bobrovsky was ultimately pulled and Alex Lyon had to step in, which obviously is something that is unbelievably rare to see this season, Bobrovsky being pulled in a game.
Yeah, it was very uncharacteristic of him, but it's been a very uncharacteristic 3 weeks for the Panthers. So Bob has looked pretty good during the skid. I guess it was his turn to look not great, I'll say.
No. So, because again, it's funny because this show has begun in a period where Florida has been on a slump. And are they still on a slump? It's tough to say because, again, they had this win against Ottawa. They had that great shootout win against Detroit not that long ago. So they've won some games in the midst of what has otherwise been not a great part of the season for Florida. With all of this said, they've won two of their last six, which is not great per se. So, Alex, I'd like for us to clarify why we believe that Florida is even where they are right now. Because people are throwing conspiracy theories. They're just showing negativity on the socials. I know Edwin, if you're listening, he's probably panicking this late in the season. But listen, okay? Let's take this out. Hopefully this is going to be the last episode where we have to talk about the negative aspect of Florida's latter end of the season, okay? Because they could get on a run here, get hot before the first round of the playoffs where they are likely going to play Toronto. So I have a list here of five reasons why I believe Florida is playing the way they are. And again, some of these reasons are bigger than the others. But I digress. Let's just get right into this, Alex. The first reason, and it's obviously a problem that every team can suffer, is injuries / illness, you know, missing your top players. Unlike other sports where you just have to put in your backups or your second string to fix the pieces, this also presents a bigger problem in the sport of hockey because now you have to juggle brand new lines that you have to experiment with game in and game out when big-time players, such as what we saw Tkachuk a couple of games ago, he was sick. He didn't play in that. Obviously, Ekblad, who did come back but is now back out of the lineup, having to find brand new lines that work game in and game out is such an unbelievably tough task. I can't imagine how difficult it must be for Coach Maurice and the coaching staff to get right. But that specifically, having to find new lines that work when some of your best players are out, yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. And those, you know, we mentioned on the last pod, and we focused mostly on the defense, but the offense has also been very, you know, you have to write these lineups in pencil with an eraser, a good eraser, because, yeah, you know, you're missing Carter Verhaeghe now. And before then, who was it before then? It was Barkov for a few games. And then you slot in and out Kyle Okposo here and there. And then, of course, you have Vladimir Tarasenko, who was traded here, and they're trying to figure out where to put him. And then it doesn't help that while you're trying to figure out where to put him, you know, like you mentioned, guys are getting sick, guys are getting hurt. After Thursday's win against Ottawa, head coach Paul Maurice said that Stephen Lawrence was projectile vomiting during the game. And he implied that it's something that's been going around the locker room. It's just one of those things, I guess. Hopefully it's reaching the end. Hopefully the last player to get infected has been infected with whatever this is. Not that you want anyone to get infected, but, you know, hopefully that whatever this virus or whatever it is going through the locker room, hopefully it's coming to an end, because you don't want to be projectile vomiting at any point in your life, but especially not while you're playing a hockey game trying to get your team out of a losing skid. Oh. But no, that just gives me an idea of like where this team is right now. Like, they're not feeling well. So I wonder if that's why Paul Maurice doesn't seem too concerned, because he knows that this is just a matter of illness and slight injury.
Unfortunately, not every player that plays sports has that sort of Michael Jordan flu game where they just suddenly become a better player, let alone the tough conditions of being in a frozen ice rink that probably makes the sickness feel even worse, or maybe to feel better. I don't know. Because usually you want to put cold packs, you want to get all nice and rested when you're sick. You're in a cold environment, obviously, but it's one of the most physical sports there is. So there's kind of a balance there. So number two on the second reason I have, and it's maybe a controversial reason for some, but there's just nothing to play for really right now for the Panthers in the long run. They've clinched their playoff spot. They would have to have a sheer disaster if they wanted to fall out of second place in the Atlantic. They have a pretty good gap in between them and the next closest team, which would be Toronto. Toronto has 95 points. Florida has 101. So, again, I'm not saying that Florida is purposely trying to lose these games, but at the same time, do they really have to give it their all game in and game out when they know that the situation they're in right now is one of the best situations you can literally have in the NHL, being in second place, you knowing you're going to be hosting games one and two of the playoffs?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's one of those things where they're not where they're not trying necessarily, but it's, I do wonder, and I say wonder because I don't want to put anything in, I don't want to put any words in Paul Maurice's mouth, but I do wonder if they're just, instead of not caring if they win or lose, reprioritizing what goes on the next couple weeks.
Right.
Still want to win, but more importantly, you want to be healthy. Mm-hmm. So I do think that that's what they're doing. They're trying to be as healthy as they can while hopefully still winning. But if they don't win, it's fine as long as they're healthy. Yeah. I think that's what they're prioritizing, because you see teams all the time limp into the playoffs, not just in the sense that they're losing, but in the sense that they're beat up before the playoffs even begin. So I think that they're just trying to get into the postseason with a full squad.
Yeah. So number three, and again, this is not a problem that's specific to Florida. This is just how scheduling is. But Florida's got a difficult schedule. What else can we say? This stretch that they have been on, they've been playing the best teams in hockey. You have your Carolinas, your Tampas, the surprisingly hot Nashvilles. Of course, you got Boston and Toronto and the teams that Florida is probably going to take on again in the playoffs. And when those games come around, those games are going to be the ones that ultimately matter whether Florida can win the Stanley Cup for the first time in franchise history. So there have been some games against great opponents where Florida has looked good as of late. Of course, you had that come-from-behind game against Dallas. Not, well, I was going to say nothing long ago. It's been a month, just about a month. But still, they've had some impressive wins here and there. But it's just a tough schedule. And that's kind of the beauty of the NHL latter end of the regular season, where ultimately all 32 teams are going to be taking on some of the toughest opponents in hockey.
Exactly. And more than just the caliber of the opponents, it's also just the frequency and the times of these games. It's a silly excuse, but they, by the end of, so tomorrow they're going to play Boston at 3:30.
Right.
By the end of that game, they will have played 4 games in 6 days with a back-to-back mixed in there somewhere.
Grueling. Unbelievably grueling.
Exactly. And at the end of all that, it's a 3:30 game. So you play in Ottawa. I presume they fly straight to Boston on Thursday night, if not early Friday morning. And then Saturday, you got to be at the arena by noon, maybe even a little earlier, to play this 3:30 game. And Paul Maurice has even come out and said he's not very pleased with it. Not that he's complaining to the league necessarily, but just what's the word I'm looking for? Acknowledging that it is a difficulty to play an afternoon game at the end of a long road trip like this.
Yeah.
Now, he did say, on the other end of that, that the best rest that you can get is 2 days, 2 days between games at home, which the Panthers are going to get in about a week. On the 13th of April, they're going to play the Buffalo Sabres at home at 5 p.m. That's a Saturday.
Nice.
Then they're going to have 2 days off, and then they play the Toronto Maple Leafs at home on the 16th at 7:30.
I will commend the NHL for that. Putting us on this road trip right now is definitely not great, but you take the good, the bad with the good, and the good is that Florida, like you mentioned, Florida's last 4 games of the regular season are all at home, and assuming they're going to stay the second seed in the Atlantic, they're going to be hosting games 1 and 2. So they don't have to leave home for almost the entirety of April from here on out, which is awesome.
Exactly. They're going to be in South Florida for a long time, hopefully. And then on top of that, like I mentioned, 2 days off all at home, and then you're going to get more days off after the season ends before game one, and that's all going to be at home. So hopefully that's all they need. Hopefully, again, I'm not trying to put words in Paul Maurice's mouth, but I wonder if that's the reason that he keeps telling the media everything's fine, I'm not worried, because he knows that illness and injury, they're going to get these guys right with all these off days that they're coming up upon in these next couple weeks.
Number 4 in this list that I have, and it's sort of just a take on how Florida plays hockey. What was one of the biggest things the Panthers lost when Aaron Ekblad went out for as long as he did? It was great defense, yes. It was also physicality. And physicality is something that Florida sort of prides themselves on. They have a demanding forechecking style that they reliably use game in and game out. It's what they've built an identity on. A deep Stanley Cup run is going to require all of that, right? And this cycles back towards the idea that there's not a whole lot to play for right now. If you run a physical type of system for your team, there's one big issue with that, and it's that physicality towards your opponent often results in retaliation, but even worse, it results in potential injury in the process. So I'm not saying that Florida's necessarily playing less physical than they usually are towards this latter stretch of the season, but one of the biggest reasons why Florida did so good in the Stanley Cup playoffs last year was because of their physicality. And like I said, of a very demanding forechecking style, which they want to keep 100% when they take on, again, likely Toronto in the first round and go from there.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that they have kind of gotten away from. And I wonder if that's one of those things that has happened on purpose, kind of what you alluded to, if it's been on purpose to just preserve themselves until it's time to really start winning, or the more concerning one, they really have just gotten away from themselves completely on accident. What I will say, and again, I know I keep saying it, but it's not just Paul Maurice. Every time I'm in the locker room after a loss over these last 3 weeks, the players at worst, I think the worst that I've heard was just a desire to win again. Yeah. That's it. Like, no one is concerned, at least not outwardly. No one even seems that frustrated, mm-hmm. at least outwardly. They just seem like they would like to win again.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing. It's nothing crazy. I'll put it to you this way. I also cover the Marlins, and those two clubhouses are very different right now, is what I will say. So that gives me confidence in these Panthers to turn it back on when it's time to.
Yeah. Boy. I did watch the first pitch podcast with Kevin and Alex and whatnot earlier today, and man, the mood in that podcast is rough. The mood here is pretty good at the moment because, like we said at the top, we're coming off a very impressive win against Ottawa, and like we had alluded to earlier, Florida's in an amazing spot. By the way, some breaking news: the Heat just beat the Houston Rockets 119-104. Pretty nice get back game after the disappointing loss to Philadelphia last night. But I digress. This is a Panthers podcast. The fifth and final reason I'll give, and this is actually dissecting the negative aspects of what we've seen towards this stretch of the season, is that overall the puck management has been very questionable for the Panthers during this stretch. On top of that, you're just giving up breakaways. You're experiencing a lot of odd man rushes and whatnot after being probably the best defensive team in the NHL for the longest time. I think it really boils down to puck management, and puck management creates problems all around. It creates breakaways, again, and adds to your turnover list, and sometimes the Panthers are forced to commit penalties in a response to make sure that the opposing team doesn't get an easy goal off of them. So, yeah, Florida's been one of the most penalized teams in the NHL during this stretch, and granted, they have a great penalty kill on the road, which is great to see. I mean, how many penalties did they give up last night to Ottawa, and Ottawa could do diddly squat about it.
They were six for six on the penalty kill.
That's ridiculous. That is insane. And granted, like we mentioned earlier, Ottawa's not, you know, the cream of the crop in the NHL, but that's still an impressive thing to hang your head on. But I do think some of the negatives in this stretch sort of start with puck management. It hasn't been as great as it has been all season, and that forces a relatively good defense to sometimes make mistakes in the process.
Exactly. I think at least a little bit related to that, Paul Maurice a couple weeks ago said, we're a rush team without speed right now, which wouldn't relate to the team that you've seen in the past. I think that sums it up. You know, teams giving up a lot of rushes, and they're not really good at – lately, they haven't really been good at stopping those rushes. Like, they're getting beat on them real bad.
Now, we had talked about physicality, and Florida actually was definitely the more physical team in last night's game, 34 overall hits compared to Ottawa's 26. Now, it was just a highlight reel. It was one of those sort of highlight reel games where it really felt like Florida could do no wrong. That one goal by Anton Lundell. And it was the same type of goal he pulled off against the same team, I believe in the overtime winner, where How do I even explain this? Maybe you could explain this better. How did Anton Lundell hit that one goal that everyone saw? Because it was like the play of the day.
It was just an extremely high angle shot that he is so good at for some reason. Not that he isn't a sharpshooter, but it almost seems like he's better at those shots than a standard shot.
Which is unbelievable.
He's that guy that you play basketball with who can just sink like the hardest of shots, like a fadeaway three out of bounds behind the backboard while you're getting fouled. But, you know, God forbid he hits a free throw, stuff like that.
Yeah. So, and yeah, it was only a few games ago that actually it was the game prior that Bobrovsky got pulled, because they were struggling against Montreal, and Stolarz came in, and they almost got a comeback rolling, but it just wasn't enough. Now, how did Bobrovsky respond to maybe one of his worst games of the season? He had 30 saves and a perfect clean sheet. I mean, and he got the first star of the game, obviously. You make 30 saves, give up nothing, you're going to get one of the stars. And he got the first star. He had an absolutely incredible game, his fifth shutout of the season, Florida's offense just made absolute work with that. They did not. Sometimes they have burned really amazing performances by Bobrovsky overall, but this was not the case. The offense was just as impressive as the defense. If Alex, if you had to say, what was the more impressive part about that win? Was it Bobrovsky and the Panthers' defense denying everything, especially like we had mentioned with the six penalty kills? Or was it the work of players like Tkachuk and Reinhart that just laid it all out there against Ottawa all game?
For me, it was the performance of Bobrovsky. Probably because of what you mentioned, he didn't look fantastic a couple nights ago. But against Ottawa, he came back and it was one of his better performances of the season. Mm-hmm. He made three high-danger saves, according to Natural Stat Trick. What I liked was that I feel like Panther fans felt burned by him the first couple years that he was here, maybe even the first 3 years. And I feel like some people get concerned when they see a bad game from him. Not mm-hmm. everyone, but some people. And to see him have a bad performance earlier in the week and then come back and give up zero goals while facing six power plays. Yeah, the defense was great in front of him, but six power plays is still six power plays. 30 saves and zero goals is still 30 saves and zero goals. I don't know who's playing in front of you. So to see him just come back like that, like he's not even in a slump. He just had one bad game. So I was happy to see that from him last night.
Okay, so again, a 6-0 win over Ottawa. It was one of the rare times where you can just sit back, pop a soda, and just relax and just take the game in. There's no stress in a game like this. You can just keep your worries back at home, if you will. And it's something that doesn't always happen in hockey. Hockey is usually a very stressful sport when it's at its best. So when you get a win like this, you really got to savor it, because I don't think it's happening again in the postseason for these Florida Panthers coming up. So let's take a look at the injury report. And before we get to our CAT scan player, let's quickly evaluate Carter Verhaeghe. The official injury report just says that he's out. No specific reasoning, again, specifically why he's out. Alex, do we know the exact injury that Verhaeghe has right now, if it even is an injury at all?
No, it's an undisclosed injury, according to Paul Maurice. He said that they have lots of confidence that he'll be ready in time for the playoffs, but he is week to week for now. What we do know is that he took two shifts in the third period against Toronto on Tuesday.
Right.
And then he went to the bench, and that was it. I personally didn't see anything with him. Mm. I don't know if that means that nobody saw anything with him, but I didn't see it. But yeah, sometime in the third period against Toronto, that doesn't even mean that that's when he was injured. That right. might just be when he decided he couldn't play through whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Again, I mean, we've seen it with Paul Maurice where he'll say, you know, player's fine, then turns out he's not so fine, especially last year.
Yeah.
But if I have to take his word for it right now, I mean, he doesn't seem too concerned. Week to week, he says he should be ready by game one.
Okay. Well, and yeah, and speaking of ready by game one, it's time to look at our CAT scan player for tonight's episode of the Puck It, Send It In podcast. It is none other than the man who came in, made some serious hits, got a couple of points, and then left. And that was Aaron Ekblad, our defenseman, who came back for a vengeance, looked relatively good in the games that he played, and is now likely to miss the regular season per Coach Paul Maurice with an undisclosed injury. And it's weird. You really don't see undisclosed injuries that often in other sports. Like, obviously, you have instances of load management in basketball. Personal reasons comes up quite a bit sometimes in sports. To say he has an injury, but it's undisclosed, is a little weird, Alex. But go ahead.
Yeah. No, sorry, Jake. Yeah. Undisclosed injury. I do want to make a correction to something that we talked about just a minute ago. Carter Verhaeghe is week to week with an upper body injury.
Okay.
I mentally got it mixed up in my head. He's got the upper body injury, Carter Verhaeghe. Aaron Ekblad has the undisclosed injury. Aaron Ekblad, though, I did see what I think happened to him, I think that this was the play that he was injured on.
Okay.
He delivered a body check during Tuesday's game against Montreal, and I think that might have been it. He originally missed eight games with a lower body injury when he collided with new teammate Vladimir Tarasenko against Calgary earlier in March. I'm getting my months mixed up.
March 9th, yes. Against Calgary, yeah.
Perfect. So now they're going to miss him for a little bit. And what they're going to miss the most, and you mentioned it a few times tonight, the tenacity, the physicality. This is just one anecdote, but their shootout win against Detroit, they were just getting jobbed by the refs the entire game.
Yeah.
And I think that they had just finally had enough around 10 minutes left in the third period. Aaron Ekblad just comes bursting out of the penalty box, and it just so happens that the Panthers, I think it was Barkov, had the puck on his stick. Ekblad had a clear lane into the offensive zone, gets the puck deep into the Panthers' offensive zone. I don't even think he passed it away to Barkov. I think he just brought it in deep and then kind of got a stick checked by a Detroit defender, and then the puck went onto Barkov's stick and he scored. But Aaron Ekblad's the one that got the puck in deep there. And the way that he was sprinting out of the penalty box to receive this long two-line saucer pass, it looked like an angry running back play. You know what I mean? It just looked like an angry run downhill. It's like someone's scoring a goal right now. I don't know if it's going to be me. I don't know if it's going to be Barkov, but someone's scoring a goal right now. And they tied the game, and they wound up winning in the shootout.
Mm-hmm.
I think that stuff like that is what they're going to miss over the next couple weeks. I really hope it's one of those things where they're holding him out longer than he needs to be. I know that's what Paul Maurice said about his first injury, not his first injury, but the most recent injury before this, when he had the lower body injury. Paul Maurice said, you know, we're going to keep him out longer than he wants to be out for, just because we really want to be safe with this. The last thing I'll say on Aaron Ekblad's injury for now, Paul Maurice did say, we know what the injury is. We've been aware of it. Like let me pull up the actual quote, but he basically said, you know, we know what this is. It's not anything new.
Okay. And again, stat wise, you might look at Ekblad's stats so far this season. His games against Toronto and Montreal, again, the stats don't really pop out at you. And so far this season, only 4 goals, however, 14 assists. That's not too shabby. But yeah, we've been mentioning it that he brings momentum to a Panther squad. He obviously makes big plays on defense, which we kind of saw that against Ottawa yesterday. But imagine if Ekblad was part of that lineup. I don't feel like much would have changed. It would have been still just an amazing defensive effort by Florida in regards to that. So I believe it was Maurice that said that by the time game one arrives, he will likely be back. And that's great. It's great to see. It's wonderful.
And I just want to, And I just want to clarify what I was saying before, because I was paraphrasing before, but I just got the quote up. Paul Maurice said, quote, this is not new and it is not unknown to us what it is regarding Aaron Ekblad's recent injury. So hopefully this is something that they can nip in the bud before playoffs start, and hopefully everyone's ready to go by the time that rolls around.
Alex, what was the game that Coach Maurice had that admittedly very funny quote where he said, I'm trying to pull it up on my end, today is a free quote blanking day. Take whatever you think I might say and use it. I won't blank about it. What game was that following?
That was their 3-2 loss against the New York Islanders on March 28th. The Islanders.
All right. Okay. Don't really have anything to say about that. It was just a very funny quote.
You just wanted to say it?
Yeah, it was admittedly a funny quote. I don't know. So,
well, because he was being asked about, you know, you're going to clinch the playoffs in about 10 minutes because you lost.
Right.
But what was the game that the the Carolina Hurricanes are 10 minutes away from beating the Detroit Red Wings because they were up like 4-0 with like 5 minutes left in the game. Yeah. So what do you think of you guys being in the playoffs? And he basically said, you know, I'm just a grumpy old man right now. I don't want to talk about anything good right now. Yeah. And then that's what led him to say that. It was, you know, he's got a great way of lightening the room up, even when things look bad.
It's nice. I mean, by the way, Maurice made some history in that win against Ottawa. What exactly did Coach Maurice achieve with that win over the Senators? It was like somewhere in the all-time winningest coach. It's something along those lines. Coach Maurice has made a lot of records this season so far with the team. Granted, it's an amazing team, of course. However, hang on. Okay, so he moved into the fourth most wins of all time for a coach in that win over Ottawa. My God. I mean, really hoping that can lead this team to their first Stanley Cup. We're getting more and more excited because, again, there's not many games left to go for the Panthers in the regular season. So let's talk a bit about that. Some playoff. First of all, what would the playoffs look like if the season were to end today? Again, this is always sort of a weird thing to talk about because so many things can happen, but Boston would take on Tampa. Florida would take on Toronto. The Rangers would take on the Islanders. Battle of New York there. That'd be super fun to watch. And then Carolina would take on Philadelphia. And out in the West, Dallas would take on would take on Los Angeles. Colorado would take on Winnipeg. Vancouver would take on a fiery hot Nashville. Nashville reminds me so much of the Panthers from last year. Nashville is just playing that type of hockey this late in the season. And rounded off, Edmonton would take on Vegas. There are a couple of clinching scenarios. Toronto could clinch tonight if a few teams lose. Let me check the scores right now just to see how the rest of the NHL is doing. We'll make a couple predictions at the end here. So Edmonton is beating Colorado by a score of 3-2. Vegas and Arizona game just kicked off. Nothing has really happened as of right now. And then aside from that, some finals. Buffalo just beat Philadelphia. The Rangers just beat the Red Wings, and the Hurricanes demolished Washington. Okay, so not a whole lot of crazy stories. So let's look at the road ahead real quick. And in doing that, let's talk some around the NHL. I've picked out a few games we can make some predictions for, some of the most, I'd say, competitive games so far. Obviously, the most competitive one is probably going to be the one at the end, of course, with your Florida Panthers, but let's get right into it, starting off with two teams that have just beaten the Panthers, now scoring off against each other, the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens. Now, Montreal, they're eliminated. I mean, what am I saying? They're eliminated, but they're still playing good hockey as of late. So, yeah. Essentially, it's can the Canadians upset the Leafs here? And granted, I know they're playing in Montreal, and Montreal is a really great has a really great atmosphere, especially against other Canadian teams. However, Toronto is just a well-built team that's similar to Florida, can do really good on the road. So I'm gonna have to take the Maple Leafs here.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Maple Leafs as well, just because I think they got their upset out of the way already when they beat the Panthers. You don't get two of those.
No, you don't. You don't. You absolutely don't. Now this is this is going to be a great game. Two teams that are trying to secure a spot in the playoffs, the Nashville Predators and the New York Islanders. This could be a very important game for both of them. The winner of this game definitely increases their odds of securing a playoff spot. Man, both these teams are in a I feel like it's one of those coin flip games, Alex. You know what? I'll be brave and say that Nashville continues their hot streak and takes down the Islanders.
Yeah, you're kind of right. It is a coin flip because they're both. So Nashville was hot, and then they lost three in a row, but they just won their last game. The Islanders are one of those teams. The second wild card in the East, no one wants it. It's no. Washington, Pittsburgh, and New York just playing like hot potato with it. Right. I don't know what kind of team New York will be on any given night.
Okay.
But they've been pretty hot lately. So I'm going to go with them for now.
By the way, I do hope that series ends up being true between the Rangers and the Islanders in the first round. That'd be so much fun to watch. That'd be so great to see both the New York teams duking it out like that. The final. That'd be great. The final game worth mentioning is, again, two playoff caliber teams. Vancouver has already clinched everything, essentially, in the Pacific, and they're taking on a Los Angeles team that, again, is fighting for a playoff spot. Wild card, too, like you just said. No one really wants that, but Los Angeles is trying to secure that. So it's a matter of, does Vancouver have a whole lot to play for right now? No. And Los Angeles has everything to play for because Seattle – well, actually, I take that back. They're kind of not super – at least as far as the Pacific goes. After Los Angeles, you have Seattle, Calgary, Anaheim, and San Jose. They're all eliminated. And on the other side, Arizona, Chicago also eliminated. So, granted, I'm going to go with the Kings here. I think they want to get this win and close out the regular season on a high note.
I think I'll go with the Kings too, just because, you know, kind of the same thing that you said. I feel like they just have more to play for right now. I think that they're going to come into it hungrier.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy by to look way, ahead if you're the Canucks.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like what we're seeing with the Panthers. You know, it's easy to look ahead and realize that, oh man, in only a few weeks we're going to have to get ready to take on Toronto, and in Vancouver's case, it's likely that they would take on Nashville. I mean, good luck with that. Like I said, Nashville reminds me of the Panthers last year. Kind of that similar boat, you know? So, by the way, unrelated to anything we're really talking about, but some other hockey news today, the Arizona Coyotes announced that they are going to be building not just an arena, but a whole sort of area, like a complex that will be their permanent home in Phoenix, North Phoenix specifically, off of Scottsdale Road and the 101 freeway. They've shown like a CG video of what it would all look like. It looks very nice. You might be wondering, how are they doing this if their plans to have a new stadium built all around Arizona have been denied a bunch of times, vetoed, I guess is the political term for this. It's because there's an auction coming up with a bunch of land in that area, and Arizona is going to have the most money to throw at that. They're like 100% confident that they are going to be the highest bidder for this auction. In that case, they can do whatever they want with the land. So, yeah, I mean, it's nice to see. I remember at one point when you had the teams like Arizona and even the Floridas sort of worrying that their future in their cities might not be fully secured. And obviously, Arizona has been having to play in a goddamn 5,000-seat college arena. And I guess they will probably have to play in it a few years more before this is all built. However, yeah, they're going to be staying in Phoenix. So that's I think that's good news.
Yeah, it's awesome. I as a fellow Sun Belt hockey team, I love when teams in the geographic south portion of the United States find success. Even the Lightning, I still hate them, but I like that there is a city in the South that loves hockey that way. Yeah. I feel the same way about Phoenix. Everyone who goes to Mullet Arena that I know says that they have a great time there. And it's not just because it's Mullet Arena and it's a novelty. It's also the fact that people in Phoenix like hockey. They like, it's not like it takes over the city the way that like a football team would, but the people that love it really, really love it. And there's a lot of them that love it. And I think it contrasts with the Oakland Athletics leaving to go to Sacramento for a couple of years and then down to Vegas, where like it's nice to see a city and a fan base win. It's just nice to see them win and know that their team is safe for now.
Boy, that is a tough situation in Oakland, though. My God. Imagine being Joe Schmo who's been living in Oakland the past, like, what, 5-6 years? You had a football team, you had a basketball team, you had a baseball team, and in a couple, and by next year, they're all going to be officially gone. Two of them going to the same city in Las Vegas.
If you live in Oakland and you want to go somewhere to gamble, go to Atlantic City instead. Don't go to Vegas.
You could go to Phoenix. You know, it's legal there as well. You know,
Even better. Stay on the West Coast.
Stay on the West Coast. All right, Alex, time to predict the marquee matchup tomorrow. It is Florida and Boston. We saw what happened between the Panthers and the Bruins back on March 26th. It's actually a relatively close game, but unfortunately, it was Boston that played the comeback heroes and stole one from Florida. And we had kind of alluded to it earlier. The reffing was a bit sus. They're not even just that game, that whole stretch of games. But you didn't hear it from me. But now you're going to the TD Garden, and the Bruins fans might have Vietnam flashbacks about seeing the Florida Panthers in the TD Garden. But again, Boston doesn't have a whole lot to play for, and they're in a similar boat as Florida. Who really wants this more? First of all, I'm assuming Bob's going to be in just to close out this road trip that he's on. He's had a day to get ready, so I'm assuming they're going to put Bob in and not Stolarz unless something happens. Like we had mentioned, they're going to be without Ekblad. They're going to be without Verhage. I have not seen the injury report for the Bruins. I don't know if you've seen it, Alex.
I have not.
So we're going to – actually, maybe I can check it here real quick. But I'd love to say that Florida is going to do the cool thing, walk into Boston and just absolutely dominate them. But I don't know, man. By the way, okay, so – Justin Brazeau, Pat Maroon, and Derek Forbort all out for Boston. The two latter ones are on IR, so they're not going to be back for a while. Brazeau is week to week and will not play. I believe will not. Yeah, they're not going to play tomorrow. So, regardless, I'd love to sit here and pick Florida, but I'm going to put my realistic cap on here and say that the Boston Bruins will probably get it done. In all likelihood, it will be a meaningless game because it's going to be the end of this massive road trip in Florida. Like we said, gets to go home for four straight games. My goodness. And then the playoffs start. I'm going to take the Bruins here, but a respectful loss for the Panthers.
I wonder, and this is not me predicting, trying to predict what Paul Maurice will do. This is not me trying to act like Paul Maurice would do this, but I wonder if these teams really want to show the other team what they're doing. Like, I wonder, right. How do I word this? I wonder if they really want to show what they're fully capable of and really put forth the strategies that they would use in a playoff series on Saturday. I wonder if they just want to go out there and just play. Like, you know what I mean? You don't want to show too much to a team that you're probably going to play in about a month if all goes right.
Yeah.
In like a meaningful game, meaningful series. I wonder if either team is going to show their cards too much.
I'd say probably not. We're probably going to get a low-scoring game. It's not going to be even 4-3 was considered relatively high-scoring. This could be like a 2-1 or 3-1 or 3-2 kind of game where, all right, one team, you know, a team's probably going to commit a penalty and the other team's going to capitalize. That might happen a couple of times in this game, but don't expect theatrics. Don't even expect a lot of physicality or fights. I mean, I don't think these teams like each other a whole lot, but they don't want to risk anything with, like, what, 1 to 2 weeks to go.
Yeah, I'm actually curious about what the strategy will be. I wonder if they are going to come out and just play hockey, right? There's mm-hmm. obviously going to be strategy, but I don't think it's going to be anything. I wonder if it's going to be, like, remedial strategy. Like, just stuff that everyone already knows that you do. And just physicality, because it's a hockey game, but not a whole lot of extracurriculars between the whistles. Yeah. Having said that, I think the Panthers have looked good against Boston this year, especially in their last game. They looked good. They controlled the game. They just couldn't hold on to a lead whenever they got it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that is a sign of Boston being better than them or knowing how to beat Florida more than Florida knows how to beat Boston. Yeah. I think it's a matter of just like, can you execute? If the Panthers can execute their game plan, I think that they have a better shot of beating Boston than if Boston – let me start over. If Florida executes their game plan and Boston executes their game plan, I still think Florida's the better team. It's just a matter of, will Florida actually execute their game plan, or are they going to keep making mistakes like they did in their last game against Boston where they kept giving up the lead? I think as long as they execute what they want to do, I think that they can beat Boston.
With that said, do you think that's going to happen?
Because of how well they played against Ottawa, I am possibly tricking myself into thinking that their funk is over and that they figured it out.
Okay.
Based on the entire body of work from the last 3 weeks, I'm not entirely sure. I'm still taking the Panthers
tomorrow. Okay. Good. All right.
Yeah.
Just
have some positivity.
Like riding off the high of that win over Ottawa.
Exactly. Let's keep it rolling. Let's go crazy. Let's win two games in a row.
Yeah. I mean, that there was a point in this season where they won a billion games in a row. Asking for two wins in a row is not a risky thing to ask. By the way, I didn't want to mention, because this story intrigues me. In addition to the arena, the Coyotes are also going to develop over 1,900 residential units, over 400,000 square feet of office space, retail, dining, bars, a farmer's market, a dog park, and parking structures and other gathering spaces. And they've even hinted that they might be changing their name back to the Phoenix Coyotes. Of course, when they had to actually leave Phoenix, they wanted to change their name to Arizona in case they actually had to leave the city permanently, like moving to Tempe, basically. They might be going back to Phoenix, which is kind of cool. I think Phoenix Coyotes kind of rolls off the tongue, if you will. But enough talk about the Coyotes. Go to a Coyotes podcast to listen more about that team. I do love them. I love their logo.
It's a great logo. It's one of the more unique logos in the game.
Alrighty, so that's your look at what's going on for the Panthers. After that tough game against Boston tomorrow, four straight home games, and then it's playoff time, baby. Ottawa, Columbus, Buffalo, and Toronto are the teams that they'll take on at home in that order. Alex, you know what games you're going to go to in the month of April? I'll be at the Ottawa game. Do you know if you're going to make it out to Columbus, Buffalo, or, God, Toronto to close out the season?
Yeah, I think I should be there for Columbus, and I also think Toronto. So on April 11th and 16th, I think I can make those games. I want to see them. I want to see their tune-ups before the real games.
How ironic is it, by the way, that their home opener was against Toronto, and their final game of the season also at home is going to be against Toronto? I mean,
and Toronto's last game of their season will probably come against the Panthers. How about that?
You're going to hear some "We Want Florida" chants the whole way through. Alrighty, everyone. Thanks for watching this episode of the Puck Gets Sent It In podcast. We'll be back next week, hopefully with some great news to report. Again, tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. I believe that's a nationally televised game. Is it not? Is that an ABC game? Against Boston? I'd be shocked.
Yeah, it is an ABC game.
Okay, so everyone's going to be able to see it. So yeah, should be a fun one. And, I mean, until next time, let's go home, baby.
Send it in.